Previously on Thomas and the Bible. The Bible condemns people who start poor and end up rich, powerful, and fed. It then tells women to be good wives. We move on to Ecclesiastes, where the Bible really steps up its game. We hear the famous lines, "There is nothing new under the sun, and the sun also ariseth." Thomas becomes a pirate, and we hear some incredible modesty from Solomon. We are told that all things are vanity, and we may as well not do anything, because one day it could all be owned by a fool. Also, that there is indeed a time to die, and the astute observation that at death we are all equal is made.
Thanks, Harley, for that intro. Wow, that actually applies this time. That's just been my introduction forever, because why not? I don't know. I'm just thanking him for any intro that he's ever done. No, that's awesome. I think now with the regular weekly schedule, Harley said he ought to be able to be more pretty much right on with those intros, which is awesome because I love them. Okay, you guys. I'm thanking my Patreons now because I appreciate you guys so much. So before I even start, because I got to thank these high-level people, of which there are more than I thought there would ever be, I got to thank you guys every episode. John P., who gets to decide if we switch translation. So get on the Patreon, by the way, because John P. solicited comments, I believe. I don't know how many people saw that. So you can start lobbying John P. on, you know, which translation you want for the New Testament. Daryl Keyes, thank you so much. Tom Chambers, thank you. Marcel, thank you. Jeremy Sharp, thank you. Brian Gerford, Lee Premsberger, David Van Der Vlies, Joseph Hazelton, and Travis Peterson, thank you guys so much for being patrons. And as I said last time, I set some new goals, so check them out. If you're not on the Patreon now, get on patreon.com/TNTheB. Check out the little goals and benefits there and help me out. I really appreciate it. And if we get to eventual goals, I plan on doing even more episodes, so check that out. All right. So we are on Ecclesiastes 4 through 10 today. And you know what's depressing? So Ecclesiastes has been by far and away by a factor of just infinite. Like it's not even, I can't even do the numbers. It's like dividing by zero. It has been the best book I've ever read in the Bible. And it's like kind of, if someone gave me Ecclesiastes not as part of the Bible and it was just a little book or a pamphlet or something, I'd read it and be like, oh, yeah, no, that's all right. But because it's in the Bible, which is just crap, it's like Shakespeare. It's just the greatest thing I've ever read. But here's the downside to that. It ends at 12, and we're going to 10. So this one goes to 11, but we're going to 10. So we're going to be almost done with it, like, already, and it's the only good thing to ever happen to us. So so that's depressing. Yeah, let's just get going. Ecclesiastes 4. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed. And they had no comforter, and on the side of their oppressors there was no power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead, more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which hath not been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again, I considered all travail and every right work that is for this man envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Well, yeah, that would be foolish. Better is an handful with quietness than with both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Then I returned and saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet there is no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is sore travail. Tell me what isn't vanity, Ecclesiastes, sir. That'd be nice. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. All right, this is getting dangerously, like, not very good again, so I'm a little worried. Again, if two lie together, then they have the heat, but how can one be warm alone? This is looking a lot like Proverbs now. It's now we're just going back into that territory. So be careful, Ecclesiastes. All the praise I gave you, can be undone. It can all come tumbling down. Let's see. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king, who will no more be admonished. For out of prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. I considered all the living which walk under the sun, with the second child that shall stand up in his stead. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this is also vanity and vexation of spirit. So that's Ecclesiastes 4. I'm not totally, I mean, it's, like I said, it's going downhill pretty fast because it was like two people are better than one. It's, yeah, duh. It's, I don't know. It was good. So hopefully that's just a minor misstep there. We'll see. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. This is just Proverbs now. It's pretty much, it took 2 seconds for me to go from, oh, this is the best book ever, to we're reading Proverbs. This is just little tips that don't really make sense all the time, that you all could have thought of if you tried, but you wouldn't even bother because they're not interesting enough to think of. That's what this is right now. So you're on thin ice, Ecclesiastes. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all, the king himself is served by the field. That's a good line. That's okay, I like it. The profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. So it's like, no matter how high you are, if you're, you know, like Doug Benson high, or no, no matter how high in standing you are, even the king, you know, he still depends on fields, you know, farms, food. That's a good message. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. All right, good point. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? This is quickly going into like a socialist kind of manifesto, I think. I'm blanking on his name. The guy who wrote The Jungle. I'll think of it. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. Yeah, that's about right. That's pretty famous. I wonder if, I mean, that could have existed before this, because it's pretty basic. But yeah, you know, you've come into this world with nothing and you leave it with nothing, and shall take nothing of his labor. But if that is the first time anyone said it, it must have been like, whoa, dude, you're right, Ecclesiastes. Man, hey, did you hear what Ecclesiastes just said? He said, I mean, because... So, like, we got possessions and stuff, and we all love money and, you know, and all that. But think about this. What did you say, Ecclesiastes? Oh, yeah. It's we come into this world naked, right? Because you're born naked. You don't have clothes most of the time when you're born. And then when you die, you don't get to take anything with you. Oh, man, that is brilliant. Everyone is going to say that in every song ever. But yeah, no, I'm not making fun of it. Like, if he's the first guy who thought of that, that's awesome. Kind of doubt it, but... okay. Yeah, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And there, this is also a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath at his sickness. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. Disagree on the details, but I like your message. For it is his portion. I'm saying where or why. It his. There's a silent H in is. His portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. That's the end of 5, so we're on 6. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children, and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. I'm trying to think of what that means exactly. Soul be not filled with gold. Good. Yeah. For he cometh in with vanity, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. So basically he's saying, if you're not a good person, if you don't realize what you have, you know, if you're just constantly trying to get stuff and, you know, that sort of thing. So, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. God, that's another good line. I like it. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, and all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? All right, we're on 7. A good name is better than precious ointment. I don't know. I'm not sure if you've had the best precious ointment. It's pretty good. I mean, a good name, yeah, no, I know, but oof, you have just the right ointment. Really hits the spot. And the day of death, than the day of one's birth. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth.
That's it. Here it comes.
It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. I'm not following this exactly. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Interesting. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God. Okay. Who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Yeah, once God straight... No. What is? Yeah, so when he makes a slinky, there's no man who can straighten it. It just can't happen. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All these things I have seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, and to allow the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this I have found, saith the preacher, counting one by one, to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those I have not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. All right, now he's just babbling. I don't even know what he's saying. Ecclesiastes 8. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? I don't know. It depends on the thing. Sorry, I was trying to adjust my mic. A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? This is back into Proverbs territory. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And I kept wanting it to say fear. Shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he the power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. So it's basically saying, you can't decide your death, you can't avoid it, you don't get any choice in the matter. Yeah. All this I have seen and applied to my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And also, Upton Sinclair, is that the guy's name? Yeah, Upton Sinclair. And also, where was I? I lost it. Own hurt. Oh no, it's and so. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Yeah, yeah, okay. Everything's vanity. Hey, is vanity vanity? Yes, that's vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days. All right, this is getting kind of repetitive. It's 12 chapters, and now I'm wishing it were like 7, because it started off great, it was really cool, and then it started getting a little crappy. Then it got good for like, couple of verses, and now it's just repeating stuff. So it's, you know, it's falling into the old trap. The old trap of the Bible. Trap of the Bible to you. Because sentence against an evil work, where was I? Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. So basically it's saying, yeah, even though bad people prosper on earth, be ready, you know, in heaven, everything will be fine, which is a pretty basic message. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. Yes, I said that this is also vanity. Vanity. How is that vanity? A vanity on the earth? You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. Because, I mean, I sort of understood it, but now he's saying the fact that there's people who are good and are punished and are bad and are not punished, that fact is vanity. Like, what? I don't follow. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him in the heart, in the labor of his days, which God giveth him under the sun. All right, sure, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Yeah, so we got all kinds of songs that are inspired by Ecclesiastes. I'm not going to play that one, though, because it'll show how uncool I am. Apparently, it's uncool to like a certain Dave Matthews Band, even though early Dave Matthews Band rules, and I make no apologies. It's a great song. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find it. That a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. We're going to Ecclesiastes 9. For all this, I consider... This guy is pretty obsessed with mortality, I'd say. It's getting unhealthy. Before, it was just like, oh, great observation. And now, like, you know, minute, I guess, like, hour number... Going into hour number 2 of this, essentially, you're like, all right, ease up, dude. Yeah, okay, we all die. Okay, I get it. I mean, maybe you should... Why don't you just try to live your life instead of telling us to be merry all the time because we're going to die? Like, yeah, must not be very happy for you to have to tell people for 2 hours that they're going to die and it's all nothing. For all this, I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and one to the wicked, and to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, and to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. So interesting. So maybe that's why he was saying it's vanity, because he's saying, look, it doesn't even matter what you do. Who cares? Who cares? And it's vanity to think it does matter, I guess. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also he sounds kind of mad at God too. He's not terribly happy about it. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for the living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine. You know, it'd be nice if everyone followed this. Wouldn't it be nice if people who believed in the Bible followed the Bible? I mean, obviously, there's some bad parts that if they followed, it would be terrible. But this is a good message. We should point... I didn't know this even existed, by the way. I don't know about you guys. But we should point more people to Ecclesiastes and be like, look, this is the Bible, and it's saying, just relax. Relax. You know, like, we're all going to die. We all die. You die, the sinner dies, the non-sinner dies. Just relax. Take a chill pill. Enjoy life. Eat some food, eat, drink, and be merry. YOLO, man. That's what I'd believe in God if Ecclesiastes just said YOLO, man, and then no one knew what it was. Like, what does this mean? It must be a typo. The entire book just says YOLO. And then we get to now, and it's like, holy crap, I know what it means. Okay. Also in their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever. Yeah, I'd read that. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white. That's not going to happen. And let thy head lack no ointment. Yeah. The lesson here, guys, is head ointment. Always use your head ointment. And that's the entire lesson of Ecclesiastes. Because life is short. And there's no reason to not oint your head, to not put the ointment on your head. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. I like that phrasing. It doesn't say live joyfully with your wife. It says pick the wife that you like out of your many wives. Life is too short to live with all your wives. Just pick one of them. That thou lovest all the days of the life, thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet That's interesting. The race is not to the swift, nor battle to the strong. I think I've heard that before. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time. Again, this is more just death is the great equalizer. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net. Evil net. I don't see a lot of evil nets around. You're just fishing like, oh, this net's good. Evil net. Let's get rid of this net. That one's evil. How can you tell? It's just feel it. Just pulsating with evil. And as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sun, so are the days. If this says like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives, I'm going to lose it. That will be the greatest book. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemeth great to me. There was a little city, and few men, this is a record. No, it's not a record, but, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. All right, we are on 10. Let's see. Dead flies cause the ointment. Okay, more ointment talk, guys. Buckle in. Buckle up, strap in. What's the in? Buckle up, settle in maybe. I don't know. Dig in. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to say. Buckle up. Dig in. More ointment talk. This is your ointment, Thomas and the ointment. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. I've noticed that in my local apothecary. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Don't know what that means. Is it worse to be in your left hand? What if you're left-handed? I guess it switches. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun. Oh, this pattern again. All right, something's going to be vanity, guys. Something's going to be vanity. I'm betting. Leave not thy place for yielding. No, I read that. There is an evil which I've seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then he must put more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Interesting, that's a good quote. If the iron be blunt, so it's like if you're dumb, the dumber you are, the more strength you need, essentially, which I'm sure was true back then. Now you can just be fat and do whatever, play some video games, doesn't really matter. But back then, man, it kind of mattered. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow himself. This is sounding very Proverbs-y again. Also, nothing was vanity. I think I lied, or I was wrong. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The labor of foolishness wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. That's right. Curse not the king, know not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Interesting. That was a good quote. Okay, wow, we're done for the day already. I guess that was a little short. There wasn't a lot to say because it was getting Proverbs-y. And once it gets it all Proverbs-y, I'm lost because, man, Proverbs sucked. But there's still a little bit of good stuff. It wasn't too terribly bad. So thanks for joining me for Thomas and the Bible. There's nothing else to say. Thank you. And thank you to all my patrons. You are the reason the show's still going. So look forward to, also another benefit. I have projects in the back of my mind, sort of interesting little one-off projects I might do involving the Bible. And when I do, they will be totally free to, patrons of a certain level. So I'm trying to think of more benefits for you guys. So that's one. So off the top of my head there, but yeah, so check that out. Patreon.com/GNTheB, and you guys rock, and I'll see you next week. Adios.